Are you a homeschool parent looking for help teaching certain subjects? Or do you want your student to study the history, languages, and literature of Western civilization? Memoria Press Online Academy has live online classes with master teachers to help you. Their teachers have years of experience teaching, delighting, and moving students literally from all around the world. Your homeschool year doesn't have to be difficult. Visit MemoriaPressAcademy.com or call 877-745-8866. Ken Sherb for Todd Wilkin here on Issues Etc. this afternoon. As I sit here with my Reformation 500 shirt on, and I'm thinking about this coming Sunday, which is August 28th, the commemoration of St. Augustine, I am put in mind of the fact that we really need to start thinking about how all these characters played in Luther's mind. How did Luther think of these heroes from the ancient church? For the next few minutes on Issues Etc., we're going to be talking with Dr. Christopher Boyd Brown about Luther and Augustine. Dr. Brown is Associate Professor of Church History at Boston University School of Theology, and he is the General Editor of Volumes 56 through 75 of the American edition of Luther's works. Dr. Brown, a pleasure to have you, and our honor to welcome you to Issues Etc.
My pleasure.
Augustine was always a hero, as far as Martin Luther was concerned. I can't think of a single negative thing he really said about Augustine. Would you talk about how Luther considered the saint?
Well, Luther was, of course, a member of the Order of Augustinian Hermits. That was the monastic order which he entered after swearing his oath to St. Anne in the thunderstorm. But the irony is that Augustine was not really as present in the Augustinian order in general as you might expect, given that it bore his name. Many of the theologians in the Augustinian order before Luther had taken very un-Augustinian positions on things that were of central importance to Luther and to Augustine, such as the doctrine of grace, the doctrine of the bondage of the human will, and of the inability of human beings to fulfill the law. As Luther tells it in his 1545 autobiographical preface to his Latin works, it was really after his own grappling with St. Paul, the famous verse in Romans, through the gospel, God justifies, that he went back and looked at St. Augustine in his writings and found that unlike so many of the other church fathers, and especially the medieval theologians that Luther had been reading, Augustine was a voice that spoke with comparatively great clarity and reassurance about the gospel, about the centrality of God's grace. As Luther says, it was Augustine who confirmed what Luther had found in the scriptures, in St. Paul, and Augustine was always, as you said, the father who spoke about these things in a way which Luther could identify as his own.
Now, of course, Augustine fought many, many battles during his theological career. He fought the Manichaeans, he fought the Donatists, he fought the Pelagians. He also wrote the massive book on the city of God. Luther kind of honed in particularly, though. When he's thinking about Augustine, he's not thinking about all of that. What is he thinking about in particular?
That's right. So Luther is reading different parts of St. Augustine from those that were important to many of his medieval predecessors. They had tended to be attracted to Augustine's early writings, his more philosophical writings, in which Augustine speaks as a Christian, but also very much as a Neoplatonist. But what Luther loved, especially out of Augustine, what he treasured and prized, were the writings in which Augustine, sort of in the middle of his career, now as a bishop in Hippo, in Roman North Africa, responsible for preaching to his congregation, the writings in which Augustine is attacking the arch-heretic of his day, as Augustine saw it, the British monk named Pelagius. And it was Pelagius who had taught that human beings, using the gifts that God had given by nature, were able to perfectly fulfill the law of God, and that that was what they were responsible for doing if they hoped to be saved. For Pelagius, there was no such thing as God's grace apart from God's gifts in creation. And it was Augustine who, out of pretty much all of his contemporaries, with a very few exceptions, saw this as a radical threat to the integrity of the gospel. And those were the works. Augustine writing against Pelagius, preaching against Pelagius, that Luther saw as being central to Augustine's legacy to the church.
Now, this does, as you point out, make a big difference, because some of Luther's contemporaries and a great many of his predecessors in late medieval theology were even kind of embarrassed by some of the things that Augustine said in those anti-Pelagian works, were they not?
That's right. The medieval tradition, going back to Bonaventure in the first generation of Franciscans, but almost all of the late medieval scholastic theologians like to say that Augustine, when he was speaking against heretics, liked to exaggerate. So when Augustine was writing against Pelagius about how human beings absolutely had to have the grace of God and only the grace of God in order to be saved, medieval theologians like to say, well, Augustine is stretching the truth a little bit, that really you have to have God's grace plus human efforts and cooperation with grace rather than grace alone. But Luther said that no, it's when Augustine is speaking against the heretics, when he's being polemical, that his theology is purest and most accurate. And of course, Luther himself knew how to be polemical and to oppose heresies against the grace of God. So it was that Augustine, taken seriously and at face value in praise of grace, that Luther grasped onto, laid hold of, and wanted his students and everyone else to read and appreciate.
Just as a kind of a little sidebar here, how is that as a kind of a criterion for approaching the works of Luther? For example, famously, C.F.W. Walther in our country in the 19th century said, if you're going to read Luther, go in heavy right at first on his polemical works.
Well, Luther really was a polemical theologian for most of his career. His theology developed, and he discovered the kernel of the gospel, not only out of his own struggles, how do I find a gracious God, but then as that theology was challenged by his contemporaries, Luther used his training as a scholastic theologian, the resources he had as a biblical theologian, to lay out in theses, right? Most famously the 95 Theses, but Luther composed these kinds of polemical theses throughout his career to articulate his theology, not only in and of itself, but also for Luther, it was vital to show the distinctions, how the truth of the gospel was different from what was being claimed as the gospel by theologians who didn't have it straight. So for Luther, as well as for Augustine, it was in the polemics that the theology was really clarified, right? Making clear not only the gospel, but also what was not the gospel.
Speaking of Luther and his disputations, we all remember the famous 95 Theses. I guess that's the one that's most coming to mind as we're getting ready to celebrate the 500th anniversary of it. October 31st in 2017 will be the 500th anniversary. But even before that, the month before, Luther had a disputation against scholastic theology, and he began that by talking about Augustine.
That's right. So it's the first thesis in the disputation against scholastic theology that Luther takes on this medieval consensus that Augustine is exaggerating. The core of his attack on scholastic theology is, in that perspective, an advocacy for the theology of St. Augustine at its face value, in its purity, over against these medieval efforts to water down Augustine and to sort of weigh him down with all of these late medieval alternatives.
Eventually, Luther wrote a preface to Augustine's great writing on the Spirit and the Letter. That's kind of a place where Luther, you can almost see it as an invitation. He's licking his lips over as a place to talk about law and gospel. Would you describe that a little bit?
That's right. Augustine's works had been edited for print in the early 16th century by the great humanist scholar Erasmus. For Erasmus, however, Augustine was certainly not his favorite theologian. He liked church fathers like Jerome and Greek fathers like Chrysostom much better than Augustine. For Luther, Augustine was, of course, at the center of the choir of church fathers, and Luther was interested in making sure that there were published editions of St. Augustine which were affordable and accessible for theological students. He wanted his students in Wittenberg to be able to read Augustine. Right? So there was an effort in Wittenberg beginning in the 1530s and coming to fruition in the 1540s to publish selected works of Augustine so that students could afford them. And he prepared in that context a preface for Augustine's treatise on the Spirit and the Letter, De Spiritu et Litera, which was one of the central anti-Pelagian writings of St. Augustine. And it lays out, in a way which was very important for Luther, the distinction between the letter, which for Augustine means the law, even the law of God, the moral law, not just the ceremonial law, which stands not in continuity with, but in contrast with the work of the Spirit in justifying human beings through grace. And so that contrast, which Luther most familiarly calls the distinction between law and gospel, he identified there in this central place in St. Augustine. This is a point on which Luther's opponents had attacked him early on. They wanted to say that the letter was the literal interpretation of the scripture and the Spirit meant the allegorical interpretation. That was clearly not what Augustine meant, and Luther wanted people to read that for themselves and to see how this fundamental distinction in Luther's theology had been taught by the great father, St. Augustine, in his reading of St. Paul 1,000 years before.
Something for us to keep in mind when we get to the commemoration of Augustine this coming Sunday. Thank you, Dr. Christopher Boyd Brown of Boston University, for being with us today on Issues Etc.
Thank you.
Coming up next hour on Issues Etc., we've got Pastor David Peterson from Redeemer Lutheran Church in Fort Wayne. He'll be looking ahead in the one-year lectionary to Sunday, Jesus Healing the 10 Lepers. That's coming up. That'll be an encore presentation, by the way. I'm Ken Sherb for Todd Wilkin. Glad to have spent yesterday with you here on the program and also today up until now. Todd will be back with David Peterson after the news. I thank you very much for your time this time. Till next time on Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Do you want a church with a rockin' band and a sermon series to help you live a better life? It's not here. Bethany Evangelical Lutheran Church in Fairview Heights offers authentic, historic Christianity to a world awash in fads and entertainment, and offers forgiveness of sins to people overwhelmed with guilt and shame. Join us Sundays at 9:30 on Old Collinsville Road in Fairview Heights, Illinois, to receive the life-giving gifts of God with us. Find out more online at bethanylcms.org.
Have you recently graduated from high school or college and are still making up your mind about your future career? Here's an opportunity to serve your neighbor through an extended, uniquely Lutheran service program. It's called the Lutheran Youth Corps. Find out more about the Lutheran Youth Corps at lcms.org/youthcorps. Life together through witness and mercy, the Lutheran Youth Corps. lcms.org/youthcorps.